Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. As you probably know, sadly, in the state of Minnesota, back in November, we decided not to protect marriage and keep it one man, one woman. Sadly, also, some very pro-abortion legislation went through, and our liberal governor signed it. And so what we're going to do on this half hour, we're going to ask the question, what's happening now on these moral issues in the state of Minnesota? What's a Christian to do the way our state and our whole nation is going? I want to introduce to you Tom Pritchard. Welcome, Tom.
Good to be here.
He is the director of the president of the Minnesota Family Council, kind of the conservative think tank family issues that are fighting for traditional family in the state of Minnesota. And you've had a full-time job lately, haven't you, Tom?
It certainly kept us busy.
Well, it has. Now, tell me, one-third of Minnesota is Lutheran, one-third is Catholic, one-third is everything else. And we lost the marriage amendment back in November trying to keep marriage one man, one woman. Why? What happened? Because I don't think you thought we would lose that, did you?
I thought it would pass because a majority of Minnesotans support traditional marriage. In fact, now after the election, still a majority do. But I think there's some people voted against it because they thought it shouldn't be in the Constitution and they just weren't clear on what it was going to do. And in fact, what's happened now only verifies what we were thinking, that we needed to protect it in our Constitution.
Well, and so what we were told is we don't need this because it's already illegal to have gay marriage in Minnesota. So now what's happening? They're going to make it legal in Minnesota. What's the status? What's going to happen? When are they voting on this?
Well, right now it's passed both committees in both the House and the Senate in the Minnesota legislature, and it's now on the floor for a vote, and it very well could come up in May of this year.
And what do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's hard to say. It depends whether or not legislators are going to listen to their constituents who, especially in outstate areas, do not support this. A Star Tribune poll found that 72% of people in outstate Minnesota support traditional marriage, one man, one woman.
Or will they listen? Including Democrats.
Yeah, yeah. Or will they listen to their party leadership in the legislature, which wants this to go through?
And the Democratic leadership is very fervent that they want this through, am I right?
Yes, they're very strongly in supportive of it.
And we're going to do this at the end, too, but I just want to urge our viewers, if there was ever time for a Christian to call your legislature and say, look, we don't want gay marriage in Minnesota, you need to do that now because they very well may decide this in, you said, May. So we're going to put a phone number on the screen. If you don't know who your state senator is, here's the phone number. I think we've got it ready. Call the state senate. You call your state senator, 651-296-0504. The state house, you call 651-296-2146. If you don't know who they are, call that number. They'll tell you the quick and easy way, and this is what I did. You go to www.leg.state.mn.us. It'll tell you who your state senator is, and if this is right, then I push the button, and you can right there send them an email. What I did is I sent my state senator an email at that site, and then I called her as well. Sadly, she got back to me, and she's still pro-gay marriage, but we can work in other areas. Well, but I want you to do it. Only the Lord knows if we're going to do this, but I want to encourage every one of our viewers, if there was ever a time for a Christian to call your legislator, it's this week, so that this doesn't go through. So Tom, is it right to say you're a lobbyist?
Yeah.
Okay. You go down there and you fight for Christian values there. What's the atmosphere down there like right now?
Well, I think a lot of our issues, it's not very friendly on the life issues, the marriage issues, and some other of the social issues. So, no, it's been interesting.
Is it emotionally draining for you?
Oh, I kind of enjoy it. I think it's kind of invigorating.
Is that right?
Yeah, deal with the issues. No, it's a challenge, but no, I've been doing it for over 20 years.
Tell me, what did Governor Mark Dayton just signed regarding abortion and Obamacare? What happened?
Well, in Minnesota and other states, many other states, they're passing what they call health care exchanges, where they will provide subsidies for individuals if they're low income to get by insurance. And basically what he said is that the health care plan selling insurance through these exchanges can include abortion in their coverage, which in a sense will then be subsidized by other people when they go to get tax credits and other
things.
And
initially that was out.
Well, they haven't even had the exchanges. They're just creating them now.
Okay.
And then when people go to buy their insurance, you know, they can buy abortion coverage as well. In a sense, everybody else through these tax credits will be
subsidizing abortion. But originally, that was restricted out, and then the Democrats got it back in, and then Dayton signed it. Is that not what happened?
Yeah, he signed it recently into law.
So, you know, and now the Democrats are firmly in control of, is it both houses?
Yes.
Okay. Have you... And now there used to be, Tom, a good number of what were called pro-life Democrats in Minnesota, in the state legislature. Is that true anymore?
Well, there are certainly some. I mean, clearly, but you know, it's a smaller percentage. I mean, when I first started many years ago, there was a pro-life Speaker of the House who happened to be DFL, but you wouldn't find that now.
Yeah. In fact, what I saw in the news is that on the gay marriage issue, the leadership is trying to pressure the Democrats that are from the countryside to go their route on gay marriage. Is that happening down there?
Yeah, I think that's true. That you know, the metro, the city, are the folks who are in charge of the caucus, and they obviously really want to see this go through.
So if it goes through, Tom, and we have gay marriage in Minnesota, and there's a Christian wedding photographer who doesn't want to do a wedding of two lesbians, will she be able to say no, or will she be then fined? How will that work?
Well, obviously it depends what the bill looks like, but as things now stand, if the bill they're talking about goes through, there wouldn't be protections for religious conscience and just conscience on these issues that, you know, for instance, in New Mexico, where they had a union ceremony and a photographer said, no, I just can't, my convictions, but I'll refer you to somebody else who will perform, you know, take your photos, who will do a great job. But they said, no, we want you to, and when you refuse, we're going to sue you for anti-discrimination, or file a complaint, and that person was fined. Now it's before the New Mexico Supreme Court. So that, clearly that's one of the implications of redefining marriage, is that it'll force individuals, companies, nonprofit organizations and others to agree.
It does sound, though, am I right, that they wouldn't force a clergyman to do a gay marriage? Am I right?
Probably not in the church itself, but other religious organizations outside the four walls of the church could very well be forced to, you know, promote or endorse.
I mean, that we're even having this conversation 20 years ago would have been, you're kidding, we're not going to have that conversation. What has happened to America that we've gotten to the point where the President of the United States promotes gay marriage? We've got 9 states now that have homosexual marriage. What is your take, because you're a Christian man, Tom, and you're doing things from the political side. What happened to the United States?
Well, I think what's happened is the culture has changed. The attitudes on what marriage is have just fundamentally shifted, and I think the big promoter of that has been the media and the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone from
higher education.
Yeah, well, I think every area of society, but I think we've gone from the understanding that marriage is a unique conjugal relationship between a man and a woman, you know, the bringing together of the different sexes, which is, with the result of that union being procreation, providing the best environment for raising children, connecting children to their mothers and fathers. And we've moved to this, what I would call kind of an emotional understanding of marriage, that it's an emotional bond. You know, you fall in love,
mm-hmm.
you get married. If you fall out of love, you don't get married.
Right.
So they say, well, if two people of the same sex can have an emotional relationship, why shouldn't they be able to get married? So
mm-hmm.
what's happened is, fundamentally, what is the nature and purpose of marriage? And if it's just an emotional relationship, they say, well, why can't two people
yeah.
get married? But the fact is, marriage is something much more than that. It's always been more than that. That the unique bonding of a man and a woman, the resulting children, and the best environment for that. And that's really the foundation of society. People don't realize that you have to ask the question in this debate, if we eliminate the notion of a mother and a father, is who's dispensable? Is it the mother or the father? And I think research is clear that children need their mother and a father. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at our state prisons, they're full of young men
that didn't have a dad.
Who didn't have a dad. And basically, when you eliminate the notion of a mother and a father, you're saying that it doesn't matter. Yeah. And in fact, the state would be prohibited from encouraging children to have fathers in their lives, because that would be discriminatory.
And states that have homosexual marriage now are bringing this pro-gay stuff into kindergarten, first, second, and third grades, and the parents can't get their kids out in Massachusetts. Do you know this case?
Yeah, there was a situation in the Massachusetts school where they started then teaching same-sex marriage, and a parent wanted to withdraw their child, and he couldn't. He couldn't take the child out because the child was enrolled. And so that's the consequence. People need to realize it's not just kind of live and let live. Why can't a few gay couples get married? But no, it changes the definition, the understanding of marriage, and as a result, that change in definition is promoted by the state throughout society. That's why you have private employers, a photographer, or a school, mm-hmm. or adoption agencies mm-hmm. in Massachusetts were forced shut down because they wouldn't place children in same-sex headed households because they said no. Children need a mother or father. Yeah. In Illinois, where they have civil unions, an adoption organization or foster care was told they couldn't be a part of a state program yeah. because they had a different policy yeah. on placing of children. So people need to realize this goes yeah. far beyond just...
Let's go back to what you said. I want people to hear that. Do you realize that a Catholic adoption agency that had been in existence for, 50 years, and giving kids to adoptive parents, had to shut their doors because they wouldn't give it to two gay men? That's what we've got coming in the United States of America. And also in Illinois, weren't they forcing pharmacists to distribute the abortion pill? And finally that got blocked. But, I mean, it's like my guess, Tom, is the Christian church will start being persecuted now in the United States. And we've seen evidence of that, haven't we? Do you have any examples of that?
Well, I think you've already pointed out some where it's happened in other places. People who, for deep-seated religious convictions or even just reasons of conscience, mm-hmm. do not support these activities are going to run up against the law if they refuse to support, endorse, promote.
Let me literally play the devil's advocate. Tom, you narrow-minded Christian, why are you so mean-spirited and hateful? Why can't two men who love each other get married? What's your response?
Well, I'd say simply that marriage, again, goes back to the definition of marriage. What is marriage? It's the union of a man and woman, procreation, the raising of children, the best environment for children. That's what marriage is. Mm-hmm. I would argue those who say it's discriminatory not to allow same-sex couple. I'd say right now, no person has refused the right to marry based on their sexual orientation. They just have to marry somebody of the opposite sex. And so what's happening is they're trying to redefine the institution, redefine it, not gain access to it.
And isn't it fair to say, if we're going to redefine marriage, how far do we go?
Well, I think that's right.
Man and five women?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember many years ago, one of my colleagues was on an NPR radio program, and they were talking about, I think they had an anthropologist from a local college, and she was saying, throughout history, polygamous relationships, or even in other cultures today, polygamous relationships are recognized. I mean, we really haven't in history had situations where broad recognition of same-sex unions, and I think that's the natural consequence. And you see this in other states. There's a push for polygamous relationships in other mm-hmm. areas, in Canada and other places. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, if it's defined by a loving commitment or a relationship,
yep.
why should we deny the man the right yep. to marry two women whom he loves?
And, I mean, if a 50-year-old father and his 30-year-old daughter have a loving, committed relationship and they want to have sex and get married, why not, if we're redefining marriage as a loving, committed relationship?
Well, I think we have to realize marriage is really for the best interest of society and the best interest, the best environment for raising children.
Yeah.
That the notion of connecting a child uniquely to that unique bond between their mother and their father, we're losing that. And I think as a result, society, ultimately gay marriage redefines marriage and therefore waters it down so it has less value currency in society, and people as a whole will value it less. And I think that's what we're seeing in other societies where they have redefined marriage.
Wasn't there a homosexual from California that came out to testify against gay marriage recently? Do you know this
story? Yeah, there was an individual.
Tell people about
that.
Well,
this gentleman who, a self-identified gay man, basically recognizes that children need their mother and a father. It's in the child.
Because he was raised with two lesbians, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think that might have been somebody else. But
okay.
Recognizing that it's in the child's best interest, that the child has an interest in being raised by their mother and a father. And when you deny that, that it's detrimental to the child.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this issue isn't just, I mean, there are gay people who don't want necessarily to redefine marriage, mm-hmm. that's not their interest. And mm-hmm. there was even testimony in the state legislature where a gay man got up, the individual you talked about, but some other people, they want yep. other unions recognized. But so it's not just universal.
Well, you know, we're all against bullying. We don't want kids to be picked on for their perceived effeminacy or whatever, all right? So we're all against bullying. But something in me feels that that is being used to get the camel's nose under the tent and get the whole pro-gay thing brought about. Tell us your view
on that. There's some legislation in the Minnesota legislature. It's billed as anti-bullying legislature, but if you have a closer look at it and you see the organizations promoting it, the special groups that are being recognized under it, that it really goes far beyond the issue of bullying. And we can all agree that everybody should be protected from bullying for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
whether you're a gay or lesbian identified student or not. You know, you should be free from bullying, and so we can all agree on that. But mm-hmm. this legislation that they're promoting seeks to promote a safe and supportive school environment, and it's so broad that the definitions, we've had some legal people look at it, and they basically say this is unconstitutional what you're trying to do, this definition where you're really trying to, quote, change the environment in our schools. It's not addressing the behavior of the bullying, but it's creating quote, an atmosphere or whatever, environment. And basically, I think it's seeking to change the beliefs of
yeah.
students on particular
yeah.
behaviors
yeah.
and lifestyles. And it really goes, you know, far beyond the issue.
How come bullying all of a sudden is such a big deal? You hear about it all the time. Is it really that bullying is upway, or is there a political agenda going on?
Well, I can't say. I just know there are bullying incidents in our school,
no.
and I think we can do more to
mm-hmm.
address it. But I think what they're prescribing goes far beyond. In fact, the authors of the bill in the House said, no, this is really to change the environment of the school.
Mm.
It's not to address that bullying behavior. You know, so we feel we should be focusing on the behavior of the bully, you know, not the characteristics of the victims. And so that's, you know, that's a concern we have with some legislation currently there.
What do you think, Tom, is going to happen with right now before the National Supreme Court are two cases that, I mean, if anybody saw the recent Time magazine cover of two men kissing, Time magazine, it's a real in-your-face. I hope Time magazine goes under like Newsweek went under. Newsweek is horribly liberal, so is Time. But they have two men kissing on the cover of Time, which is unheard of. And basically it says gay marriage is a done deal in America. Tell us what's before the Supreme Court and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, there are two cases. One dealing with the Prop 8 case.
California,
basically where the voters of California voted, a majority of them voted to protect or enshrine in the state constitution one man, one woman marriage. It was challenged in the courts. The state officials refused to defend their own proposition, which the people had passed. And it was a judge overturned it. It was it's on appeal at the Supreme Court. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a complicated legal issue, but it's whether or not that proposition and the voice of the people of California will be upheld. That's one case. The other case is challenging the Defense of Marriage Act, which is a federal law which says, one, for purposes of federal law, marriage is one man, one woman. And secondly, states can't be forced to recognize same-sex unions from other states. And so that's being challenged. As far as to what is going to happen, you know, it's really hard to say. I don't think they're going to find, and this is my own view, but I don't necessarily think they're going to find a right to gay marriage in the sense saying, you know, we're going to require, just like they did with Roe versus Wade, they struck down abortion,
everywhere.
Pro-life, yeah, restrictions in states across the country. I don't necessarily think they're going to do that, but I don't know what's going to happen. They may strike down the federal law, some think, which defines it as one man, one woman. But, you know,
so
it remains to be seen.
You're guessing California will win and keep marriage?
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes judges can say one thing and you know, and they can dance around that issue and whether or not they're going to say the right of the people of California should be, the voice of the people of California should be recognized, I don't know. But I don't think they're going to go as far as to say there's a constitutional right to it in the U.S. Constitution. So right now you have over 30 states with state constitutional amendments defining marriage as one man, one woman.
Over 30 states?
Yeah, over 30 states and, you know, almost, you know, another 10 states have laws. So I don't necessarily think they're going to go that far, but I don't know.
Let me ask you this. With Obamacare now, some people say Obamacare is going to promote abortion. Is that true? And if so, how does it do so?
Well, I think we just talked about that on these federal health care exchanges.
Okay.
When if they're included in these health plans and there's a subsidy, you know, we're subsidizing people, low-income folks who don't have health care insurance. They get a subsidy to go in and buy health insurance from different health care plans, and if those plans include abortion coverage, in a sense, the taxpayers will be subsidizing it. So that's one way. You know, I think beyond that, you know, Obamacare is a significant taking over of the responsibility and the right of people to control their health care insurance. Basically, you're putting the state in charge of this 1/6 of the American economy. So, you know, that's a huge issue as well with Obamacare. It's not just, you know, the abortion, which is obviously very significant, but also the fact that the state will now be deciding what people can buy.
And President Obama forcing the Catholic institutions to pay for contraceptives, he has not backpedaled on that.
No.
And people think he did. He has not.
No. Well, no, that's another issue. I mean, it's not only contraceptives, but it's abortifacients and other drugs, which they're basically, and that's coming through Obamacare, is you're basically forcing the American people to subsidize these practices and activities, which many people say, hey, we just don't believe this is right. And that's where you get into the religious liberties.
Well, you do. And so you've got Obama, who's got a 100% pro-abortion voting record. Planned Parenthood loves Obama because he always stands with abortion. And so if you have that, and he insists that he's going to force Catholics, for instance, to pay for abortifacients, will that go to the Supreme Court as a violation of the religious liberty?
Well, that's already, there's lots of cases percolating up in the courts, and a lot of judges have struck down the requirement that it apply to religious organizations and individuals. So, yeah, that's kind of being played out in the courts right now, and obviously it remains to be seen how that will ultimately be resolved. But, you know, that's another case where, you know, a lot of people say, you know, hey, I'm not going to deal with these issues. You know, I'm just going to kind of ignore it and go my own way. But you can't.
No.
If, you know, if you're buying health care, you know, these issues, you're involved one way or another. So people need to realize that they can't avoid these issues, and they need to be involved. They need to speak out and stand up.
And, you know, I'll say it one more time, Tom. I sadly kind of expect this out of our secular government. I don't expect pro-abortion actions to come from Christian denominations. And I'll say it again, if you're an ELCA Lutheran, the ELCA pays for abortions with offering dollars. The same is also true in the Presbyterian Church USA and other Protestant denominations. How tragic. So, you know, Tom, we've got about 3 minutes left. I want to put on the screen one more time. If I can ever impress you to do something, please listen. This is the month to call your legislator and say, we don't want gay marriage in Minnesota. We'd like it if we didn't have abortion covered in the Minnesota version of Obamacare. Here's the phone number, 651-296-0504, or the House, 651-296-2146. You call those numbers to find out who your state senator is. Or you can do it easily by going to www.leg.state.mn.us. You find out who they are. You send them an email right from the website. But I did both. I called and I sent an email. And we're going to play this program with Tom. We're going to pay the extra money and play this a lot between now and the end of May because we want many people to be concerned and stand up. And you know, Tom, You are on the front lines of battle on this stuff as a Christian. And if you could say something to our audience about just the gravity of our times and what every Christian should do, what would you say?
Well, I would first of all, people need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for our leaders of our country, pray for our president, our governor, our legislators, that God would give them wisdom to do the right thing, and they would do the right thing. So I think prayer is the first thing, but I think we need to realize our responsibility as citizens to be involved, you know, who we vote for, our representatives, contacting them, be informed, and talk to your friends, talk to your family and other people about these issues, be educated, and yet be willing to speak out.
I mean, yes.
Sometimes people are intimidated. Some of these issues, you get harassed and other things, but we need to be bold. We need to be loving. We need to be winsome. Mm-hmm. But we need, in a sense, you need to speak the truth in love is the way I think I would summarize it. So I just think people need to realize we have a responsibility as Christians.
Not just to pray, but also to speak.
To be involved. We're called to be salt and light, and that's not just to me to be, you know, hey, politics is something that's not important. I don't need to be involved. I don't see that in the gospel.
No.
We're called to be salt and light. I mean, Jesus was killed by political leaders of his day because they saw him as a threat because he spoke the truth.
And we should be willing to die as well.
Yeah, but I just think we need to do it in love, too.
Yeah.
Realize that.
Be polite when you contact your legislator.
Yeah, and we need to respect them and you know, speak well of our, you know, not speak negative. I mean, obviously we disagree, we can voice those, but you know, I think we just have to be out there and be involved.
Good advice. Well, everybody, what I want to ask you to do when this show is over, would you turn off the TV set for a minute or two, and would you pray for our nation, pray for Minnesota, pray for our legislators, pray that God will keep marriage one man, one woman in this state, and then call those numbers, go to those websites, and if you'd like to see this show or other shows, or you want to recommend this show, just go to pastorstudy.org. All these TV shows you can see there. But Tom, thanks so much.
Good to be
with
you.
And everybody, pray and vote right and voice your values to your legislators. Amen.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.